Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Our Creator did not design us for selfishness or wickedness. He designed us for servanthood and holiness as modeled by Jesus Christ. It is only by God's Word and His Spirit that we are able to stay on the path that leads to eternal life, where we will find ultimate satisfaction, because we will behold God's face. Moreover, having been fully purified, we will be like Him. Please open your Bible to Psalm 17, verse 4, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of David's prayer for deliverance from his persecutors.
Look at verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Wow. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. The Hebrew word for destroyer there is violent. It's God's word that reveals to you and I the paths of destruction. Thank God for His word. How we need a hunger and a thirst for God's word, don't we, beloved? How we need to be a word people. Not just the knowledge of it, but the application of it. Notice, David says, by your word, I've kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. Well, when David didn't heed God's word, where do we find him? On the paths of the destroyer, on the paths of destruction. Notice that there are many paths of the destroyer, many paths. And I've learned in close to 40 years of being in ministry what a price people pay when they follow a path other than Jesus. There's always a price. The enemy baits us and he gets us. It's like, you know, it's like when you go fishing. You know, that poor fish that you catch, it didn't see the hook. All it saw was that fancy lure. Jesus said, follow me, didn't he? That's the path we want to be on tonight. That's the path we want to be on, whatever situation you and I are going through. Follow me. Following a person is much easier than following principles. I've observed that lately in a lot of Bible teaching, and I'm not here to knock Bible teaching in the sense, but here's something that has really, really come to surface lately. I'm hearing a lot of Bible principles taught, and there are biblical principles. And let me tell you, people that are unsaved can follow a biblical principle and be successful or be this or be that. We are not called to follow principles. We're called to follow Jesus. You see, because following a person is much easier than following principles. Let's just say that I am visiting Matt in a foreign city and he gives me a map or he gives me directions. And I find myself on such and such a location, and I don't know where I am. So I call Matt. I go, Matt, help me. He says, where are you? Then I'm really confounded. I don't know. He says, I'm on the corner of State and Maine, and there's a big building next to me. He goes, oh, I know exactly where you are. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Follow me. I get in the car and follow him. You see, we need to follow Jesus. I hear a lot of people go, well, I live by biblical principles. Biblical principles didn't die on the cross. How many of you know that the devil knows as much about biblical principles as you and I do? And he doesn't have faith in God. We are to follow Jesus Christ. We were not designed by our Creator for selfishness or wickedness. We were designed by our Creator for servanthood and holiness as modeled by Jesus. Jesus is the path. He is the way. And it's only by the word of God's lips that we are kept from the paths of the destroyer. Thank God for His word. Thank God for His word. And then in verse 5, David says, he cries out, hold up or support my goings in thy paths. that my footsteps slip not. So he realizes his weakness. Do you realize how weak you and I are apart from the Lord? Lord, I need you to support me. I need you to hold me up. Now, David mentions the Lord's path. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 talks about two paths. There's the broad path that leads to destruction, and there's the narrow path that leads to life. And Jesus says, few there be that find it. The word for path here in the Hebrew speaks of a well-worn tracks that were made by the wagons. Plain, unmissable. You found the tracks. You traveled along those grooves. Those are the paths that you and I are called by the Lord to be on. You know, whenever the nation of Israel went astray, it was always because they got off the paths of the Lord. It's always because they thought that they were wiser than God. And they would reject him. They would begin doing their own thing. And the prophet Jeremiah would speak to them, and he would call them to return to the old paths. But they wouldn't want it. They wouldn't want to follow the paths of the Lord. They were following the paths of the pagan gods, the paths of idolatry, the paths of the world. David cries, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. You know, it's only when we choose to walk on God's paths that we will not slip. We're not as smart as we think we are. You know that, right? Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. When you and I follow our natural instincts, it's always the path of destruction. Or it's the path of self-righteousness, which is just as destructive. And I find here in verse 5 a prayer. Hold up, support my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. There is an Indian translation of this verse that reads this way. I place my feet in your footprints so that I will not slip. Lord, place my feet in your footprints that I will not slip. Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to think of a right way to go? God's given us the way. And it's Jesus. And it's his word. Thank God for his word. The power in his word. The life that is in his word. The purity that is in his word. The beauty that is in his word. He and many times in the Old Testament, he would call heaven and earth to record. He'd say to his people, okay, here's the right way, here's the wrong way. God tells you and I tonight, choose life, choose my paths. Beware of the paths of the destroyer. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Question is, do you want to be directed? Do you want to be directed? He says, I've called upon you in verse 6. For you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, or literally your committed love, O you that saves by your right hand them which trust in you from those that rise up against them. You know, if you want to defend yourself, God will let you, but he will not help you. And David says, I'm calling upon you to be my defense. It's better to walk in God's path and let him defend you. In fact, that's your best defense against any opponents. Never put a sword in the enemy's hand. Walk on the right path. Note here that David declares, Lord, you save those by your right hand, them which put their trust in you. Well, isn't it interesting? The right hand of God. Note that God saves by his right hand those who put their trust in him. Well, who is seated at the right hand of the Father? It's Jesus. That's how you and I are saved. He's the one that saves us. That word salvation means to be delivered. It means to be made whole. It's such a vast word. We limit it to the forgiveness of our sin and going to heaven. Thank God for that. I'm thankful that I'm forgiven and going to heaven. You know? But it's much more than that. Paul writes to Timothy, he says that the gospel is the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And God has shown you and me tonight, beloved, his marvelous loving kindness, his covenant love. He's showed us that. It's like Matt prayed. There's a lot of other things you and I could be doing tonight. And that's not to judge people that are doing other things. But we didn't come here to have fun. We didn't come here to be entertained. We didn't come here to hear a motivational speech. We came here to worship the living God, to worship the one who has saved us and delivered us, and to hear, God, what is it that you have for me tonight? Lord, test my heart. Show me my heart. And when you pray that, be prepared to hear. Because God will show you. And it will never be to condemn you. It will never be to make you feel guilty. It will never be to make you feel unworthy. He reveals your heart so that you realize just how precious the blood of Jesus Christ was to cleanse you. Remember that. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. He says to the Lord, keep me as the apple or the pupil of the eye, something that one moves instinctively to protect. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Notice David says, keep me, hide me. From whom? From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass or surround me about. David was one of those men that people either loved or hated. You realize that, don't you? You and I as believers, we've come to love David. We've come to, I see David, he's a man after God's own heart. And to this day, 40 years later, as I read through the scriptures and examine his life, I'm thinking, that's quite a statement. If God didn't say in the scriptures that he called David a man after his own heart, would you call David a man after God's own heart? No, probably not. You would probably call him some other things, wouldn't you? But David was a man that could say, Lord, test me. Lord, prove me. Lord, try me. And he asks to be hidden. He had asked to be kept from the wicked that oppress him, from his deadly enemies who compassed him about. Notice it says they are enclosed in their own fat. In the Hebrew, the wicked here are described by these words. Their own fat means they are so full of self-love that they are void of any tenderness or sensitivity. That's one of the definitions of a wicked person. So full of self-love that they're void of any tenderness and sensitivity. A second characteristic, with their mouth, they speak proudly. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people on planet Earth that are enclosed in their own fat. Self-love. Void of any tenderness. Void of any sensitivity. With their mouth, they speak proudly. Verse 11, they have now compassed us in our steps. Literally, in the Hebrew, it means they track me down. They watch my every step. David was watched. He was tracked. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were, a young lion lurking in secret places. You ever watch those documentaries about Africa or the big cats? Ooh. There's the lion. They're watched their prey. And as soon as they can, they pounce on him. Imagine being David. Imagine David. We're going to see in the next psalm. There's about a 20-year period of time that he didn't know who his friends were. He didn't know who his enemies were. All he knew is that everywhere he went, there were people that were watching him, people that just wanted to pounce on him and do him in. David says in verse 13, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from, notice, men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. In other words, riches and honor are the lots of their inheritance, who have no inheritance among those whose lot is in glory. David asked to be delivered from men of the world. That's mankind in a derogatory sense. That's man without God. That's people who say, I'm okay. There's a lot of people who don't want to live their life with any regard for what God says. All they want to do is live their lives for their ungodly pleasures and lusts. In Psalm 73, Asaph was almost overcome when he looked at these men of the world. They prosper. They never seem to have any problems. You know, people like that, they're unsaved, they're unregenerate. Your pay gets cut, they get an increase. They live in the finest of homes. They drive the best vehicles. They wear the most classiest and expensive clothes. And here you and I go shopping at Salvation Army. It seems like nothing is wrong in their life. Seems. Psalm 73 talks about people who have everything in this world to live with, but they don't have Jesus. It says in Psalm 73, verse 18, you did set them in slippery places. You have cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation is in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. In other words, an unregenerate man or woman is a person whose portion is only in this life. We need to keep in mind, beloved, that God is interested in our eternal welfare. Never forget that. You see, I have to admit that many times I'm only interested in the light of the moment, the light of today. I'm only looking for my ease today. I'm looking for my comfort today. I'm looking for deliverance today. I'm looking for peace or pleasure today. I want it now. And you can have it for the next few minutes. But God is more concerned with you and I, eternally speaking. That's why Jesus would say such things like, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. In other words, think with eternal values. Don't just think for the here and now. Realize this. You and I are transplants from heaven living on planet Earth. We are called strangers and pilgrims. Our portion is in the world to come. What shall it profit a man if he or she gain the whole world and lose their own soul? Some of the richest people that I've ever met are people who live in these little huts in India that have nothing materially, nothing financially. And yet they are so rich. Many years ago, one of my first visits, we went to a village, and I was much younger, so I was a little bit more agile than I am today. And so we had an afternoon. So I'm playing volleyball with the boys. I'm whooping them too. I'm telling you this. So that's a little bit of pride there. And so after that volleyball session, this young boy takes me by the hand, takes me to his home. It was the night before I was going to leave. And he had a goat. He says, here, pastor, through a translator, I want you to take this home for you. I'm looking at him and I'm weeping. It's like giving me what would be an expensive vehicle. He said, it's everything here. I want you to have this. I want you to have this. That's riches. Remember when Jesus observed the people putting money in the treasury, and there were the rich, they were given their 10%, and then there was the poor widow? Jesus says that widow put more into the agape box than they did. How we need to renew our mind and see things the way God sees things and values things. How we need to have kingdom values, kingdom thinking, don't we, beloved? Don't we? How important. Now, thank God for the blessings that we have. You realize that you and I tonight, who may be on the lower end of the spectrum by American lifestyles, are the wealthy compared to the rest of the world? You know how many people would love to be sitting in an air-conditioned building tonight and having church? I mean, I've taught Bible studies in India that was the other half of a cow stall with the manure over, you know, on the other end, and the windows boarded up so that the sound doesn't project out. And they're there worshiping all day long. And they don't have any props. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're on a passport. We have a passport from heaven to be missionaries here on earth. You realize that? That's your passport. Stamped. Missionaries for Jesus Christ in the USA. But now notice the contrast in verse 14. There's the wicked of the world, and then in verse 15, pardon me, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, look at the contrast. But as for me, I'm not a man of this world. Though David is far from perfect, he realizes that his heart belongs somewhere else. He says, when I awake, I'm going to be satisfied. It's a beautiful thing, beloved, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. What a wonderful hope we have when we breathe our last breath and we inhale our first breath in glory. That's when it's ultimate satisfaction. That's when, and I've said this before, when we breathe our first breath in glory, that's when our eyes are going to see what they were made for and our ears are going to hear what they were made for. Oh, God. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now, and it's not the air conditioning. I'm telling you that. I'm going to be satisfied, ultimately satisfied one day when I awake with your likeness. Paul says, oh, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And so he says that. And then he says this in verse 58. Listen to this. Therefore, because of that, we're heaven bound. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you be steadfast, you be unmovable, you be abounding in the work of the Lord. And never let anybody tell you that what you're doing for the Lord is in vain. Never believe the lies of the enemy or your feelings or those of your enemies that your labors in the Lord are in vain. Don't believe it. It comes right from the pit of hell. On November 29th, 2014, Werner, Jean-Pierre, and Rode Groenewald paid the ultimate price when they were shot and killed by the Taliban in Afghanistan. 1 month before they were martyred, the father wrote in his journal, this is a father and his two sons, is a missionary in Afghanistan, we die only once, it may as well be for Christ. There are three heroes of mine that I'm going to see in heaven. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.